All right, this is David C., Interview Director and Archivist, Memphis Area Archives Committee, and it is our distinct pleasure and honor to have Bill D.
Bill Dooner is here.
Bill Dooner.
Sitting here with an egg sandwich. Chasing it with a Coca-Cola.
Yes, yes.
And hopefully between the bites, I can get my message in.
Yeah, I think so. Well, enjoy your sandwich. We were kind of talking about newcomers running with a pack, you know, getting sober with a lot of people, relating that to New York. If you could.
Well, that's actually how it happened in New York. Many of the newcomers would team up. They might very well meet each other at an open meeting, and then they start going to closed meetings, and then building the relationship, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And the friendship was based really on the fact that they were both new. Let's assume it's two men at a meeting. And they would then, depending upon the sponsor, like I had a sponsor in New York. He came from Nashville, Tennessee. And he'd been in the song business or music business. His name was Jim Gribble. He played football for Vanderbilt back in the 1830s. And anyways, a giant of a guy. And he probably had, at least 5, 6, 7 pigeons, as we call them.
Pigeons.
Newcomers.
Pigeons.
Yeah. And here he was. And in other words, if it was Monday night, we knew we were going to be at the Rhinelander meeting. If it was Tuesday night, we were going to be at the Manhattan Group. And so we always knew where we were going to meet each night as the week went forward. And it felt like you were sobering up as part of a team.
Yeah.
And so that was what I meant by, sobering up as a team.
What time period was this roughly, Bill? Are we talking late?
No, that was 1955. It was in 1955, in the spring and the early summer. But the earlier part of when I came in today, it was 1951.
Right.
Yeah.
You were 19, right?
I was 19 years old in 1951 when I came into AA. And, I mean, how would you really know? But there were people in that group in 1951 in the Manhattan, in the what was called the Lenox Hill Group. And I met at 90th Street and 5th Avenue, the Church of the Heavenly Rest. And people in that group were, many of them were the legends you read or heard about in AA, like Marty Mann and some others. Doc Silkworth used to come there to meetings, and Bill Wilson would come to that meeting because it was on Thursday nights. It was the largest meeting in the city at that time. And it was a battle. And I think there were, but first of all, that group, there might be, I don't know, I guess all together in terms of membership, everything was very anonymous though.
Yeah, yeah.
And confidential. But I would say that if you went to a meeting there and there were 100 people in the meeting, that would probably be an open meeting. A closed meeting met in a different part of the church building there, but downstairs, and it was called the Monday night newcomers meeting. And so you were, if you were brand new into the program, that you were expected to go to that meeting. That would be a closed meeting.
Yeah.
So like every group in New York at the time, every group had an open meeting and a closed mm-hmm. meeting the same week. So that was the closed meeting, and that's where you would, find out the specifics you need to know about the fellowship,
yeah.
make it and all that. And anyway, the the open meeting, there would probably be, I don't know, maybe, because you didn't know who was an alcoholic and a non-alcoholic. Many of them were wives that came because of the husbands and stuff.
Yeah.
But wasn't there, in the percentage, there was probably less than 5%, whether it was that group or any other group in New York, that were women. Less than 5%. That group, if you were, I don't know whether you took any notes of the talk I made.
I did.
I didn't want to be redundant.
I got them. I put them in here.
Oh. I didn't know whether the invitation that would be extended to a newcomer right off the bat, if he was a newcomer coming to an early meeting, he would be, and I say he because, again, we had so few women in the end. But it would be asked of him from the dais by the secretary of the group. There was an ordinary announcement that was always made that if you're a newcomer here, please come to see me after the meeting. And if you'd like to have a temporary sponsor, we'll have one for you. And so people going forward to, as part of the length of their sobriety, getting a CHIPS, we didn't have that.
No CHIPS.
That was something that was reserved for a closed meeting, and I'm not even sure we had CHIPS of any kind, but we did have a birthday cake on your first birthday. When you were 90 days in the program, you then qualified for membership.
Yes.
And that was, there was no, nothing like a party or a birthday or a cake or anything else celebrating that. That was just your personal achievement. But you would be, the nervous part would come then because you were going to be asked to speak at an open meeting, and it could be before a lot of people, and naturally you were always nervous at that. And generally you'd have to speak for maybe 25 minutes, which would be about, which would put you in among two other speakers from your group that were going to make a talk at some outside group, in other words, rotating into another group, because another group was coming to your group. Anyway, you'd be a little bit nervous because, you know, you will never have told your story before except in private. And so you'd get a little knock-kneed, but it wasn't uncommon for somebody to do the first talk after 90 days and take an hour to tell it all. so that people would laugh and say, like that.
Yeah.
Because very often that happened. I don't remember how long I talked, but anyway. Jim Gribble had I talked, that first talk that I made was out in Long Island, so it's just a subway ride to Long Island, you know, to go out there and like a story on Long Island, someplace just over the river, but I don't know where it was, but it was that my first talk was out there. And I think maybe, and on the other hand, you get a little bit more relaxed because you're not making the talk in front of your fellow members of your fellow home group. A home group was very important in those days to have. Everybody had a home group.